This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
It's the Trim Healthy Pod Pod with Serene, Pearl, and Danny. We've got a house full today. Fun times. Wanted to open up with a question about a diet that isn't really new, but it's sort of being branded new.
Yes,
and it's really extreme, in my opinion.
Is it appealing to you on any levels?
It only appeals to me in... It sounds really hard, but it appeals to me. And I've tried it for a couple days in the past because of my stomach issues. And it appeals to me in a... Well, with the claims. The claims is that all the things that I've heard so many THM women struggle with, which THM helps with, it's making some claims that these things are going away and testimonials that they're going away. It's called the Lion Diet. It's basically just eating meat only.
Oh, carnivore.
So, and we mean it's, the people that are doing this are strict. They're eating meat, beef and chicken only typically, and drinking like carbonated water if it's not regular water. And I'm just curious, the reason I looked at it is because somebody I really like, Jordan Peterson, has been doing it and it changed his life and he doesn't make a big deal about it. It's not his thing he talks about, but it's something he does. His daughter has now made a deal about it because she was like falling apart literally in every way from the time she was like three.
I've actually, if I may interrupt you, his
Michaela.
Daughter. Yes.
Yeah.
She's doing a modified version of it apparently. Okay. I mean, so you're basically talking about carnivore.
Yep.
You know, where you eat animal foods only and actually mostly meat. Well, here's what I want to say about it. We've discussed it a little bit beforehand. We're all about the gut. So for a long-term healthy life, you have to have a diverse gut microbiome. So we were divinely created. We're omnivores. We're not just carnivores. We're not just herbivores.
So we go right back to the creator.
Yeah, so
that's just,
you know, when we eat vegetable matter, the fiber in it, and that's all vegetable matter, whether from grains or beans or whatever. And of course, some people are going to have some problems with some of those, but you can't eliminate them all and just say because you can't eat, you know, wheat, for example, that all grains are out, because some of them, they create these fibers in your body and only these fibers can turn into short chain fatty acids. Animal foods cannot. Now, we have to have short-chain fatty acids for our immune system.
They've tested, and the carnivore diet, people that stay on the carnivore diet for any length of time, they have the most smallest microbiome. Like, it's not diverse at all.
Right,
and
right.
And the diverse microbiome is our immune system. It's so much.
Now,
but, you know, there are sensitivities. Yeah. And people that... They go on a carnivore diet. They're basically knocking out all of their sensitive foods. So, yeah, they're going to feel great. But it's not like it's just a Band-Aid. It's not actually making you less sensitive to those foods. It's just like you're not eating the sensitive foods. So what we're really all about is healing the body so that you can make your diet more diverse.
Yeah.
In time.
And you can do that through things like kefir. You can actually heal your microbiome so that you don't react to the
dairy intolerant people can heal their gut through milk kefir.
Speaking of, I forgot to mention, I never bought any and hoping I can buy some off you.
Grains.
But that's for another
story. You're not going to buy it. You're going to have some. I've got some grains for you.
You know, there's just so many scriptures in the Bible. I give the herb for the service of man, you know? And I just love Deuteronomy. I'm just going to say it again. I'm not going to quote it perfectly, but I give the... The harvest of the field, you know, the blood of the grape, the milk of the goat, the fat of the ram. It goes through all the food groups. It's just so beautiful and poetic. And I just, you know, I just really want to follow the blueprint of our creator. And I feel like it's so easy to get sidetracked, you know, and maybe you're not even a Bible reader or somebody who wants to adhere to that. But let's just talk about ancient cultures. You know, they've always kept most of these foods in their diet, and they did well, these ancient cultures. And of course, modern wheat is messed up, so let's get rid of that. But let's not throw out all these other wonderful foods, like Pearl said, that feed that diverse microbiome.
You know, and they dug up some poops lately, some old-fashioned poop, but by old-fashioned, I'm talking ancient.
Sorry, did you say you dug up some?
No, not I.
What?
The archaeologists.
Oh, they dug up some.
Yeah, they dug up some. They're called a special name, but I forget the name. But basically, poops
poop
of thousand year, you know,
and it's interesting that they weren't broken down. Was it just protected in clay
somehow?
Yeah,
it was protected.
It was preserved poop?
Yeah, with preserved poop.
That sounds like the hardest thing to preserve. So
and
organic.
Guess what? They've analyzed.
Kind of probably like fossilized somehow. Yeah. You know, like,
you can look up the study, but I read this like 3 months ago, so I don't know the university or where all this was mentioned. But you can look it up. It's there. Preserved poop from different parts of the world, not just one isolated part. And they said all of them had plant matter in them. It wasn't just animal foods. They had the roots of things. They also had things like insects in there too.
Really?
But they had the grain things. They had tubers.
They find any Legos?
No Legos, Dan.
Hey, you know, can you Pompeii, the city that got buried under ash? You know, somebody had to be on the toilet.
Oh, you know, lots of them probably
and
did.
And that's how they're frozen forever.
That's probably where this poop comes from.
Yeah,
then.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But all that to say, so yes, I do. You can't deny that people are getting healed on these sorts of diets. They also get healed on totally vegan diets and totally raw diets.
Let me tell you about that.
Tell me.
Put your microphone back
to
your mouth.
Pearl and I, you know, we've used our bodies as guinea pigs for extreme diets because we were just bent that way, like health nerd freaks, you know. So I didn't try the raw vegan diet for 5 months and give it a go. 9 years, Danny.
Yeah.
Straight through breastfeeding, through pregnancy, like going to Whole Foods and Costco and not even allowing myself the healthy little taste test made of some kind of like sprouted pilaf. It wasn't good enough for me. Now, I'm talking strict.
You lost your teeth.
Raw vegan. I had teeth crumbling out of my mouth. I had children born with teeth issues because there wasn't enough DHEA, EPA, you know, all these wonderful things in their I don't know why they're in utero. But what I want to say is when I first went raw vegan, I felt incredible. And things did turn around. I had healings happen in my body. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, things are certain. You know, sometimes that Daniel diet, it was for a cleanse. You know, there are times we can try things and they're kind of like a cleanse for our bodies, but they're not bricks and mortar. They're not sustainable. They're not something that's meant to be long-term. And I tell you what, when I kept on it long-term, I ended up with such terrible digestive issues. I had this big swollen tummy like a goat, you know, because I didn't have it. And I didn't have enough protein, so I had sarcopenia. I look way older than I do now, and that was 2 decades ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, in the end, it comes to balance. And, you know, these things, they like lures are like, and we're all fish circling around. What's the best diet? How can I be optimized? And there's this lure that drops down in front of us and we're like, bite, because of all the claims. You know, but in the end, I mean, it is balance and it's wisdom. And that's, Serena and I go back to the Bible because the wisdom of man, it just comes and goes and it's just so bright lights. Eat me, eat me. And, you know, we've tried so much. But, you know, one of the biggest names in the carnivore diet world just announced that he made so many people mad that he's going back to plant food as well. He's bringing it in. And so this,
you know,
this
there's not enough carbohydrates
around.
Either in it.
Yeah.
In the just.
And we're not denying that it can help people and that there's parts of it that are fantastic.
So like short term, get me unstuck.
I wouldn't use it for short term.
I wouldn't
use short term. Everyone go even near it.
I wouldn't
do
it.
But I'm saying it's just like keto. Keto will make somebody lose weight short term. Long term, people get messed up on keto. Their microbiome gets messed up. Also, their leptin tanks, their metabolism slows down. That's why you get a lot of people that keto end up doing intermittent fasting because they're gaining weight after a few years of doing keto. Things are started. They can't eat just the butter, bacon, pork, you know, steak, cheese diet anymore. It's putting weight back on them. So they end up doing intermittent fasting. Then their window has to get longer and longer and longer because they're in survival mode. Their body wants to store everything it puts in. So their leptin's tanked.
But Danny, I would just think when you see these things, I would think, where are my short chain fatty acids? I mean, where are they? They're
and,
not
and where
there.
Is, you know, I just love it in Song of Solomon too. I love the poetry of the Bible. Refresh me with apples. And like, you know, where are the energy producing wonderful plant foods in the diet? You know, let's just think. Let's be balanced. Like look outside, there's trees.
It's trees.
I mean, I look outside in my yard and I've got apple trees, I've got fig trees, I've got grape orchards. Am I meant to just hack those all down and say, here, squirrels, have at it. I'm not allowed one.
But you know what? I mean, if you can't do things like leafy greens, if they're messing you up, there are parts of the vegetable that you can do, like fermented veggies, like kimchi, like sauerkraut, those sorts of things. You can always
be
something.
Just honest with you right now, for some reason, I go through seasons where a salad is my favorite food and I just dream of it. But I'm in the season right now. I don't know why. I can't think of it. I just don't even, a nice big salad doesn't sound interesting to me right now. I'm in I'm just twisting things up. I'm craving a bowl full of cultured vegetables, kimchi mixed with like a beet kraut and a drizzled tahini all over it and chop up a few walnuts. And I'm having bowls of cultured vegetables and it's my thing.
You're in a dirty earth season.
Yeah, it's my thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So you don't have to keep it because I can't eat a salad, I'm off all plant food.
Yeah.
Mm. Start with balance so you can finish.
And then
make
it your way, make it your own. But keep the short chain fatty acids in. I'm just promoting that big time. If you don't have butyrate in your body, which is a short chain fatty acid, you're going to be in a heck load of trouble.
The wrong things are coming out of your butt.
Yes. Butyrate. Going into your butt and coming out of your butt.
You can chisel that in stone.
Hey, we've got a question that came in today, kind of a serious one, like I'm going to change the mood a little bit. But I think it's worth answering, Serene. I think you're going to be, put your little thinking cap on.
Do I get to read it?
You can read it, Dan, because you are the host of the show. That's your job.
Oh, I'm the host now.
I guess.
Are you host that says?
No, we're the talent. You're the host.
You're the talent. Yeah.
Or is it the other way? We're the host and you're the talent.
That's like the story of my life. Like I'm always interviewing the talent.
It's true. Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
You know, anytime I do a little movie gig or something, you know, they always on the sheet, on the call sheet, they've got the crew who's the actual talent. And then they've got like rookie actors like myself but it says talent.
Oh.
And I'd have to wonder how that makes people feel. Yeah. I mean, they're over it. It's just an industry term, but it's new for me. So it feels quite insulting.
Yeah.
Like we're the talent. And some of us started like last month and like these crew members, like 20 years in, still hanging lights.
Yeah.
Faithful workers, know the industry.
Man.
Anyways.
I agree.
I'd say swap it. All right. Let's read from, let me scroll a mile down. Anonymous. Okay. Is that all right?
Yes. Yeah. I think because I read it and it's kind of serious. So I understand.
All right. Hello, Pearl, Danny, but mostly Serene.
Oh, bless you.
That's not meant to be rude. It's simply because I hate the rest of you. No, it's simply because I think she's the only one who can relate. I've struggled with disordered eating for about a decade. In order to restore my weight after anorexia, I began with just eating more of what I already felt comfortable eating. Well, through trying to implement THM principles, I've realized that I'm accidentally eating mainly raw foods. I incorporate some animal protein here and there, and it is always cooked, but 99% of what I eat is raw plant food. Whenever I cook my veggies, I end up overwhelmed and feel a mental block. It feels like it makes me sick, but I'm not sure if that part of it is only psychological. Oftentimes, my cooked meals will include the exact same veggies that I would be eating raw anyway. Somehow, it still gets to me. Does Serene have any tips for overcoming the mental block? Or was she able to jump back into cooked food with both feet? Funny mental picture. Is it possible for cooked veggies to upset my stomach? Or is that merely in my head? It doesn't help that the How to Be Food Satisfied episode left me really scared. I've been restricting for a long time. I'm definitely not underweight anymore. I'm already like a 6 or 8, even though I don't eat nearly as much as I should. I'm afraid that if I truly begin THM, I'll balloon up to a huge size. You spoke about people permanently damaging their metabolism, and I think I'm there. It doesn't help that I'm 28 and still unmarried. That adds an extra layer of pressure to remain thin. That's probably too much to talk about on the potty. So I guess it's mainly the raw food to cooked food that I'm wondering about. Anonymous.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack.
I know, but Serena, I want to unpack it, and I want you to.
Yeah, well, I love the fact that she's starting to be aware that some of this might be still mental.
Yeah.
The fact that she's even asking herself that question is such a healthy place.
I know. You know, I just think it's a healthy question.
Yeah, it's such a healthy point. She's questioning it. So I love that you are starting to question whether some of these feelings, some of these mental, these thought processes, if they're you know, trappings of the mind. And so I think that just through my own experience in I think that they are a lot of trappings of the mind still. I think that maybe somewhere in your mind, you're still not convinced that you shouldn't be on a 100% raw food diet, because I think it's the truth that sets you free. And when I actually convinced myself through facts that raw food only was going to, especially plant raw food only, mm-hmm. would be severely dangerous to me. When I was convinced of the facts, then it was easy for me to eat cooked food, because I became very, very, very educated. And I became educated in these things. Let me just tell you the things that freed me. First of all, raw food, you know, has some enzymes. And that was my big thing. Keep the enzymes. You're cooking them. You're destroying all the enzymes. And then how is that meant to be good for your body? You're destroying the life force, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, raw foods alone don't really have, they have their enzymes that they have, you know, in them. But when you culture raw food, you can even get more. So if you're just on a raw food diet and you're not culturing, you know, you're not really tapping into that full enzyme, enzymes are great for your body theory. And so it'd actually be better for you to have cooked food and then add some enzyme, psycho amounts of enzyme cultured foods to it. And you'd actually have more overall enzyme content than somebody who just ate raw food.
Salads all day long.
So the other thing is, the truth that set me free, is that many vegetables provide more nutrients the longer they're cooked. Mushrooms and tomatoes, for instance. The lycopene in tomatoes becomes way more concentrated and better absorbed by the body when it's cooked.
And I love that you're giving these facts, Serene, because I think the truth sets you free every time. It's so true. It's not just with tomatoes.
Yeah.
With many mushrooms, vegetables.
Mushrooms, the longer they're cooked.
Yeah. With many vegetables, you get some things when they're raw that are higher, and then some things that are cooked that are high. So that's why we're both supposed to do both.
Yeah. So when you said, you know, sometimes I'm cooking the same thing that I would have been eating raw, so why shouldn't I just eat it raw? Great. Exactly. Because, you know, especially with things like broccoli.
Yeah.
You need it broken down properly to absorb some things, like you said. And then raw, it can have certain things, especially if you add a little mustard seed pearl. Remember that? Why were we doing that? We would add a little mustard seed to raw broccoli.
Was that to break down the thing you're allergic to, John? It's oxalates. I don't know, you brought that up, but I do know with oxalates, spinach is high in oxalates. You're better off if you at all prone to
cook spinach.
Then you actually get more of the nutrients bioavailable.
So when I realized I actually should be cooking some vegetables and that they're actually more nutritious for me and more gentle on my stomach.
Yes.
So sometimes a lot of constant roughage in its raw state can be very agitating to the system, and it's very calming to have a cooked starch as well. And then
I like you said as well, and sorry I'm butting in because she wanted to hear from Serene.
No, please.
But I just think it's the beautiful balance. Uncooked veggies have the water content in greater amounts because you haven't cooked them out. But some cooked veggies have higher amounts of some of the minerals and different things. I just think we're supposed to do both.
Right. And then, you know, you think to yourself, so that was the truth that set me free on that. That some things should be cooked, some things shouldn't. And then also, you know, I could eat only raw my whole life and not be tapping into the most excellent forms of enzymes, which are culturing food. And I could eat cooked food and then add these cultured foods and then be getting more than most raw foodists. Okay, so that set me free. I've already gone through those two points. The other point that set me free is I'm like, you know, okay, some people are primal raw people and they eat raw animal foods as well. You know, they do raw hamburger meat and raw fish,
liver,
things like that. They do raw, like
everything. Yeah, they do raw liver.
I never actually went there, but I realized my need for animal foods. And when I realized that the only way I was going to stomach them was mainly to cook them, you know, as far as the meat and flesh things, it made sense to me when I cooked the salmon, how God had made it so beautiful that it would start to flake in these perfect little... Have you ever cooked salmon and seen how it flakes?
So perfect, good.
Almost like God has sliced it for me and it comes out of the oven. I'm like, God, and that only happened when I cooked it. I'm like, but that's a present for me. Thank you, Master Chef. And I had to cook it to get that. And then I read in the Bible, because, you know, I always go back to the Bible. That's my foundation of truth. And I saw that the priests were told to... That was the other thing when that made me turn back to animal foods was the priests. you know, they were told to eat meat. That was their portion. And they were told to all the different ways they were to cook it. They were to boil it. And there was five other different ways they could cook.
Do you boil meat?
Pot roast is basically boiling meat, but you do it slow.
Yeah. The priests were told all these different ways, but one of them was boiling, but it was all like cooking the meat. And I thought, well, if it's good enough for them, and then they were meant to be the most spiritually pure and as a type, you know, of such deeper things in life, it was good enough for them. And then Jesus cooked fish and fed it to his disciples. I'm like, okay, this raw food is just a weird trap for me, because I can't base it on anything biblical. I can't base it on facts anymore of what's really nutritious for my body. So obviously it's just a weird stronghold. So when I really got hold of that truth, I was set free. I was liberated. Overnight, I was liberated. Now, it doesn't mean I had the taste for all of those things. You know, at first I had to like kind of hide the salmon in my salad and things like that, because the texture was so different from what I had for years. But my mind was free. And so I didn't start thinking, ooh, am I feeling a little bit of funny in my stomach? Ooh, you know, do I feel foggy or worse, you know, after eating this? No, because I was like, no, this is good for me. This is what I was created for. And it all began in the mind. So the healing in the mind was what released me.
And I'd say to you, Anon, I'm just going to call you Anon because you're Anon. Anonymous. You said it feels like, when you're talking about cooked foods, you said it feels like it makes me sick, but I'm not sure if that part of it is only psychological. So I'm thinking, you know, a tip, when you eat some cooked food here and there, just tell yourself how great it is for you. Just say, oh my goodness, this food is going in to heal me. I'm so thankful for it. I know my cells are receiving it. I know I'm receiving different nutrients and higher amounts of minerals with some of these cooked foods. I think, you know, the mind is so strong. And the mind is governing your cells.
Right. That's so good, Pearl.
Is there any science around that cooked food would actually physically make someone sick?
Well, no, I want to say this. The elderly, you know, back in like Hippocrates' place, like sanitariums where they would help the elderly get better or convalesce after sickness, they would feed them these gruels of slowly steamed cooked vegetables, because it was the most gentle things on their stomach. Do you remember reading
that?
Yes.
And you know the Pritikin diet? Have you all heard of that? That was a diet back in the 70s that it actually healed a lot of people. It was based around cooked grains, you know, and veggies and stuff. But most of the meals were just cooked. They were healing people of all sorts of diseases. Now, it was vegan, it was vegetarian, but it was cooked.
Well, let's talk about grains, for instance. They have to be cooked. Yep. You could say, well, I could do sprouted. And I did that on the raw food plant diet. I sprouted it and would bake them out in the sun, which basically went over 105 in some sunny, sunny spots anyway. And probably, you know, anything over 105 is meant to destroy the enzymes, whatever. But anyway, you know, sprouting and then not cooking after sprouting grains can also leave still some toxic elements that anti-nutrients that are meant to be cooked out. And when you cook grains, it releases a lot of their nutrients and allows it to be properly digested, you know? So there's so many foods that are better off cooked. I mean, we can choose a cooking method that preserves more things than others, you know, slow cooked preserves, lower temperature preserves more nutrients. But, you know, maybe also too, and I don't necessarily think this is with the cooked vegetables that you're saying, oh, you know, it makes me feel a little bit like it's making me be sick. But there is some truth to the fact that if you haven't had something for a very, very long time, your body can forget to know how to deal with it. You know, when I was raw vegan for so long, I didn't really know how to digest any protein or animal protein. My hydrochloric acid was basically nil. I had really bad problems with low stomach acid, the amount that you're meant to have a really good, strong digestive system. And so that was because I had taught my body that it didn't need to make it anymore. What should have been naturally there, my body started to not make it. It's like, well, you know, she doesn't need this. And so when I brought meat back in and protein, more protein-rich foods, I had to do it slowly because my body had forgotten. And I don't think that's the case with the vegetables, but maybe your body's just, it's something just foreign to you, foreign to your system.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
I would say, Anon, why don't you take a little, I guess, a tip from Serene. And, you know, she came from the same world as you, vegan and raw. But, you know, when I look at Serene's diet, she has taken the very, very best, most healing aspects of the animal world and put them into like a vegan diet. Okay, so Serena's taken...
But a lot of my animal foods are raw too. I'm just thinking about
that now.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, yeah. So Serene, instead of, you know, Serene actually doesn't eat a lot of... You have fish, but actually most of your animal food is in the form of kefir.
Yeah, raw kefir.
And it's just so healing.
Some raw egg yolks,
Serene eats. But, you know, kefir, you could say, well, that's dairy, that's an animal food. But in the end, it barely is anymore, as we've discussed. It's a bunch of healthful microbes. So, you know, if you're wanting to think in your head, well, is this really good for me that I'm eating and it's an animal food? Know without a shadow of a doubt, if you start including kefir in your life, that you are just upping your health like stupendously.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have to worry. You know, you don't have to necessarily do red meat if you don't want to. I mean, there's some things in there. You can do it occasionally.
I don't have anything against red meat and I think it's healthy.
Yeah.
And I wish I almost had more of it in my diet because I love lamb and things like that. And I have my freezer's full of grass-fed beef, but I just love my kefir and I love fish. And so I probably eat red meat once a week.
Yes. And I would say that there's different times. Like younger women, I've just been reading about this, and you know, because I'm writing this book for Trim Healthy Wisdom for those of us who are getting into the beautiful mature years. Younger women do much better with red meat than women that have stopped menstruating because they're losing that blood every single month. They have less iron, so it's perfect. You need some more of that red meat. And, you know, Anon is 28, so she could probably do with some red meat here and there, but have it at least once a week. But, you know, those of us that are getting older, not all of us, we don't process iron as well. And it can go into our organs and start oxidizing. You know, what is red meat? What's red? The hemi. Mm-hmm. Hemi is iron. That's what makes it red. The iron makes it red. Mm-hmm. And so when we stop menstruating, we don't have that lack of iron that we do when we're young, young women, our reproductive years, and we absolutely need it. So I just wanted to say that caveat.
No, yes. And I also want to touch on the fact of her fear of gaining weight.
Oh, let's, I do.
Because, you know, I think if you do it healthfully and what you're putting in your diet is these things that you are convincing your brain of because they're facts. You're not convincing these lies to your brain. You're convincing these facts that these are good, healthy foods that your body needs. Maybe the scale needs to change. And it might not be fat that it's changing. It might be in the fact that you're getting more muscle. Mm-hmm. Muscle weighs more than fat. Your bones might be becoming more dense. My body changed completely. And so the scale changed completely, but it didn't mean really that my clothes fit like
when you changed
from plant raw to incorporating more animal foods and just having much healthier, sustainable, wide variety of foods.
I think when animal foods are brought in a wise way, I feel like they're very leaning for the body. They lean the body out. And here's why. Long as they're not overdone and then there's not a balance of plant foods. Because think about it.
But just think though, the scale might look higher to her because her bones are getting denser and her muscles
from
are getting built.
It might go up a few pounds.
But she doesn't have to think that that's necessarily fat and that's bad.
It's a celebration of health.
Like literally, like I was getting like last year and after the 3 miscarriages in a row and everything and just not being able to exercise the way I wanted to, I felt like I was getting frail and the scale was going down,
I
people.
I was worried about you.
And I looked in the mirror. And TMI, but I looked in the mirror like when I didn't have all the clothes on, I thought, you frail old lady. And I thought to myself, I'm going
to let thing to say to yourself,
the
though.
Scale move up because it's going to move up in bone density and muscle. You don't have to worry about it being fat, Serene. So I'm eating these foods that I know are building my bones and preventing sarcopenia as I got older. And the scale has, I'm 10 pounds higher now.
But you look so good.
But I actually, my clothes are not fitting tighter. I'm heavier, but I'm leaner even.
Yes.
So don't fear the scale getting higher. It doesn't have to mean fat.
No, and especially if you're doing, you know, the THM way, which is utilizing foods in the best way that your body knows how. If you're separating, you don't always have to separate and on. You can do some crossovers here and there. But think about it. If all you're doing is plant food raw, kind of like vegan-ish, just a bit of meat here and there, you're doing carbs. Even though vegetables have few carbs, they have some carbs. The only foods that do not have carbs in this world are animal products. Mm-hmm. I mean, milk has some carbs, but when you kefirize it, pretty much all of them go. They turn into lactic acid, so the carbs go away. So then this beautiful balance occurs where you're having some foods that are more protein-centered that don't have carbs that your body uses in different pathways. So your insulin responds differently. And if you're just having your brown rice and your veggies and your fruits, so sure, they're needed and they're good and we promote them all the time. But they're one path to health and they're one path to trimming. The other path to trimming is to have the low-carb foods as well and to balance that insulin.
And actually, they're not a complete path to trimming. They're only a path to trimming when they're side by side, those roads are going two train tracks. And when you've got a wheel on both train tracks.
Yeah, love it, Serene.
That's when you actually can get up to a place.
Oh, can you imagine? I'm just picturing, what a good analogy, super analogy girl. You rocked it. Think of a train right now on that track and only one of the sides of the wheels are on it. Path to destruction.
Yeah.
So those two wheels on both animal foods and plant foods are on there and they're in wise amounts. And then you won't have to worry about the weight gain. I do want to say something about your weight gain that you're worried about.
Can I say one more thing when you said, things in wise amounts? You know, just when we first started this whole Trim Healthy Mama thing, we've always believed in carbs. That's why we've had the emails from the beginning. But because we came from this vegan place of overdoing carbohydrates, it's like somebody, I hope this is not offensive, but somebody who maybe grew up in their teen years and in the nightclubs and the dance clubs and everything like that. So that maybe
when they
got older or whatever,
what are they
maybe
called,
they had this kind of come to Jesus moment. Now maybe they
No, you don't got to come to Jesus and leave the club.
They flip to the extreme and they don't even believe in dancing at all. And drum beats are from the devil, right? Yes. You know what I mean? They flip to the other extreme. So we kind of flipped a little bit. Mentally, we knew the carbs were healthy. We put the emails in there. But I think in our hearts, we were like a little afraid of carbs. That's why we have come so much more celebratory lately and you're hearing us more because we've realized, no, if I'm wondering where is my protein at the meal, I'm also in that day making sure I ask, where is a carb too?
Right.
At least two or three meals.
But how did you get to that when we were saying?
Because you were saying to her all these different foods in wise amounts. And I'm like, yes, we've always had the question, where's the protein? Where's the greens? And I started thinking, well, if I'm asking those questions, why am I leaving carbs out of that question ever? Why are they so...
But they don't have to be in every meal.
No, but we never asked the question hardly.
Yeah.
In my head, I never had a place where I asked that question at the beginning. But now I ask that question at least two times. Yeah. Where are my carbs? I wake up and I ask that immediately. I love to have a carbohydrate breakfast. But then in the rest of the day, I make sure, hey, Serene, have you ever asked that question again today?
Yes.
And I make sure I tick it at least once more or not twice.
I do too.
Hey, she said something I'd love you to speak to. She says that she's afraid that she's permanently damaged her metabolism.
Yeah, I wanted to talk
I know
about
she's not. She hasn't permanently damaged it because the body is an incredible, resilient machine and God didn't make any junk. I mean, we can bounce back from... I mean, I've watched my son, for new peeps in the room, who, has had fourth stage cancer. He was nearly at death's door. He's such a miracle. But I've watched him even go through stem cell treatment where, it basically pulls the body down. But he looks like a Navy SEAL. He bounces back and the body can bounce back incredibly.
And it might be not quickly, but it can.
But so first we're going to start with the positive for her, you see. So yes, do not think that you have damaged it permanently. But you can damage it where it needs some time to heal. And if you keep on the track of letting fear govern your habits, then you might get to that point where it's going to be even harder and harder and harder to heal.
And I do want to say something. You've done a lot of denying. You said you've been a person who has always limited your foods. And she even said, she said, I'm not eating. I feel like she eats less than the average person, she said. She said, I think... I'll balloon up to
99% of what I eat is raw plant food.
I feel like
I don't eat nearly as much as I should. That's what she said.
Can I speak to something? She has had a raw food stronghold like I did. But I also feel that there are still some roots of anorexia in there that we can pluck out today.
Yes, pluck out
today.
Serene, I got stuff for you there.
Yeah, you go, Dan.
But no, you're plucking.
No.
The chicken is in front of you.
Dan, you go.
Man, I was letting you guys say your things, but that's what I wanted to talk about.
Go for
it. Is anorexia is something that I'm quite studied on, not for me personally, although I felt very, very skinny and too skinny a lot of my life. But and I identify with anorexia in many ways, but that's not why I studied. Anorexia is a really big deal, you know, and you know, from all of the things she shared and how, you know, that she's doing 99% raw food right now, you know, there's eating disorders come in many forms. You know, sometimes people think an eating disorder is just binging and purging, you know, where they eat food and then they make themselves vomit, which I think that's what she did from what I read on this. She used to do that. And
I don't know if she did or she didn't. I'm not sure.
But she's coming from a restrictive lifestyle, no matter what, some form of anorexia.
Yeah, eating disorder.
Because I had anorexia too, but I never did the bulimia. So sometimes
you never purged, but you did.
So you can do just not eat?
Yeah, you can do just not eat.
Okay.
Well, that's true. It's also anorexic, they can even still eat somehow too. Because I felt like I always ate, but my mind, when I looked in the mirror, even though I was so thin, my mind saw a huge person. I saw a distended stomach. I saw it all. And I was ready to be taken to the hospital by my parents at 9 years old. But I looked in the mirror and saw a fat, big girl.
Right.
But I was crazy gaunt.
Yeah. But the thing is, you really saw a fat girl.
Right.
And that's real. And that's what I'm saying.
But I never restricted the foods too much. It was more just a mental oppression.
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter what the scale says. It's what you see. You will see blurry vision.
I restricted the food groups. I just didn't restrict. I my hunger seemed to overtake me. But anyway, keep going.
So, extreme diets, extreme food choices, binging and purging. I mean, these things are all in the same box. Like when you start to study these things, like university studies and psychological studies, it's all in the same box. And for many, eating disorder is a result of trauma, of childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. It's almost always a result.
Now, I beg to differ, but I do agree that many people can have it from childhood trauma.
Yeah.
Like, because maybe it's a way of self-hatred or I shouldn't be
control.
Here.
It's a way of control.
But for me, I mean, I was breastfed till I was 4 and like only had the most protected lifestyle.
That's trauma right there, 4 years old.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? I was just very protected lifestyle. I can't think of any trauma to my childhood.
Yeah.
But I think it was a genetic trait in my brain to be controlling and analyze things too deep. And I think I analyzed
food.
Were
you super anxious during those times?
No.
You don't?
You weren't. About weight you were. It wasn't a happy thing.
Yes. No, it was definitely not a happy thing. But I wasn't anxious or worried about anything else. I looked up and saw beautiful birds fly and I woke up happy and I wanted to be, to celebrate with people.
Sometimes anxiety is just a chemical thing. There's nothing even happening. You're and that chemical, that drive will find something to latch onto and obsess over.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, and you're right. It's not always trauma with eating disorders, but it almost always is.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Very true.
And so the other thing is, you said the word control. It is often an attempt at controlling the one thing you can control in your life. And so,
That's true.
If now we're doing 99% raw foods, to me, it sounds like we're still grasping at control.
Oh, yeah.
And we're still, food is the manifestation, not the root. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to maybe speak to that because, almost every, I'm not the eating disorder expert by any means, but there was a season when I was talking to a lot of people who had eating disorders, really reading the literature on it. And man, every one of those people just would have a moment where they would break and weep over their lack of self-love. and lack of self-worth. And
I think it's a cat chasing its tail, because I think some of those addictions give the lack of self-worth because they want to break the chain and they don't want this behavior,
but
they
keep
falling into the cycle. Yeah. So it's almost, yeah.
It confirms it. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's, and so here's the interesting thing about like what food is, you know? So you have this, and this is the place I came to on it with, and I started talking to a lot of people about this very thing is that on the one hand, it's like you're often withholding nutrition from your body, or you're the ones who binge and purge, they're putting nutrition in their body and then they're getting it out of their body.
Yeah. And I think in her case too, right here, it's almost like so concerned with nutrition. I mean, and that's where it was for me too in the end. It was like everything had to be so perfect that I put in the body. It was such a control, maybe even a fear or a way of controlling all the, you know, this fallen world and all of its sicknesses, that to me it was like nothing was good enough. So you end up eating hardly anything or any food, you know?
Yeah, so...
I feel like that's where she's coming from, is such a concern, such an obsession with nutrients almost.
I've come to see eating disorders as an attempt to heal. It's the person wanting to heal. It's the person trying. Fasting is a healing tool. So to remove food from your body can be sometimes a healthy thing to do, you know, for short periods of time. And so, you know, it's, she's using the word, all the words are right here. Psychological. Is this in my head? I would submit that it is, you know, and that you girls can disagree with me or whatever, but man, I feel like she should talk to a counselor about this.
Yeah, but
can
I say something about counselors? And I think there are really great counselors. I do.
Yeah.
And I think especially in the eating disorder world, maybe. But to me, I didn't go to a counselor, but to me it was just the truth that set me free. It was simple for me. And I think it was also, Pearl was a big part of my healing, because I mean, we grew up together, but we didn't really grow up thinking about food together. But when we started bumping heads and started steel sharpening steel, as the saying goes in the Bible, about food, it's really good to have an outsider's a different personality sharpen you. Because, you know, if I had gotten around another person who was fastidious with food and a purist, right, I don't think I would have ever properly gotten out of it.
Yeah, can I say something?
Because you always told me, settle down, relax.
I know, but I've never had a food disorder, right?
Yeah.
And yet I have always wanted to be trim. Now, if the food that I was eating right now couldn't make me trim and I was just ballooning up and ballooning up and ballooning up, I would be anxious, because being trim and healthy makes me feel good about my life. I don't need to be skinny, but I need to feel good about my life. So Anonymous is saying here, listen, I'm afraid of ballooning up. And listen, I've denied myself food in the past and I've ruined my metabolism. I am leptin deficient. I listened to your podcast and you said, if you deny yourself, you'll probably be leptin deficient. So she's concerned. I understand that. Yes, she probably has, you know, remnants of eating disorders that try to rear their heads. But I think some really practical things, counseling can often be great too, but practical things like just what Serene said about the truth, how these things are actually good for you, how you won't gain weight if you do this wisely. And here's another thing I want to say. You know, your leptin is probably low. Your thyroid hormones have probably been affected because you've denied yourself of many things. There are practical things we can do. Get them addressed. You'll start burning foods much faster. Check your TSH and your free T3 and your reverse T3. And if they're low, optimize your thyroid hormones, and then you won't balloon up. I mean, I'm not promising, but I'm predicting.
Oh, I'm
predicting if you stay.
I'm very certain.
If you eat the wise way that we're encouraging, you will burn these foods. And
not to over-exercise,
yes,
which can add cortisol to your diet, but nice, healthy movement in your life and even a little heavy lifting here and there if that's something you'd be interested in.
You know, forms of anorexia can actually be diminished when you see practical things manifest as truth.
Because eating disorders are control. I agree. But every woman actually wants control, like you said.
Everyone wants things to work.
I know mine
exactly.
Does.
Exactly. The healthy
they want
control.
Them to work.
Right. But when you find these things that control, you can just rest back in the rest back in the saddle and just relax.
Yes, like if they work. What she's saying is, I'm scared if I
do THM and it's
not going to work for me, I'm worried.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying, do it wisely, give it the best chance, but also optimize that thyroid. Go ahead and get yourself tested. Go ahead and get optimized. Let's give it the best chance for it to work.
Practical, simple, before you even go near counseling.
Yeah, or you can do it on the side.
Yes, but sometimes counseling can just make you go whir, because even though they're giving you good points sometimes, sometimes it's just more hours focusing on that part of your brain.
Yeah, and I think it depends who your counselor is and on all of that. Because,
right.
You know, I mean, my precious daughter-in-law was Kahuru. You know, she's the first one. She won't mind me saying that. She's dealt with anorexia and things like that. And counseling was very helpful for her, too.
But you found her a good one.
Yeah.
No, you got to find a good one.
Yeah. She was incredible.
You can't find a clock-punching counselor who's getting that hourly fee.
But we don't know if Anonymous, she might have already had counseling and may have gone through the roots of it. We don't know.
And we don't know if she has a strong community around her of sisters who are encouraging her.
And also, like I said, get around people that don't have your same headspace.
Yeah, for sure.
Because Pearl kept on saying, what you doing? I'm just as healthy as you. Look at all the corners I cut. Go and sit down and have some coffee.
Yeah.
You know, put your feet up and stop doing 3 hours of exercise a day. Look, I can fit into the same jeans as you. There's different ways to do this, Serene.
Hey, you know, sustainably doing THM is an eating disorder gal's dream, because
it gives you
the ultimate power over your life.
Yeah, it still gives you the power for it to work.
You get the control you're after.
Well, that's actually the story, my side of the story of it. Well, it's both of our story. My side of the story was a way that I actually finally could let go of the reins. Because I wasn't going to let go of the reins if it meant I was going to go up two sizes and balloon up with every baby and all that. I wasn't going to let go of the reins.
Yeah.
I'd rather get up at 3 o'clock and start juicing.
Yeah.
You know?
But Pearl,
it was her way too, that she wanted to keep a healthy trim figure as she went along. She didn't care about the 100% purity. You're more and more into it now. But it was.
But
also
we're not talking about a few pounds that if you include meat protein, you're going to get more muscle density and
that's
more bones. That's different.
Like I've allowed myself to not even worry about the 10 pounds.
Yeah.
But Pearl, you look at me and you think, oh, Pearl, Serene, you may have lost weight, but I've actually gained pounds.
Yeah. No, I think you look great right now.
Okay, good.
You're not
okay.
looking as gaunt as
okay,
you were.
Good. Okay, good.
I'm going to say peak state.
Yeah, peak state.
Peak state.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, you're 10 you're
pounds
in your
up.
Like prime.
I didn't like it 10 pounds down, Serene. Danny and I talked about you behind your back.
We've agreed on that.
You should have talked about it in front of my back.
We did.
Actually, we did. Yeah. Anything we've said has been on the podcast.
Okay, good. Good.
But we're on record for wanting you to get balloon up.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. Can I just say something to Anon too? You know, I used to be so concerned about nutrients, because like, it was my worship of nutrients that really my problem was. Where I got to thinking one day, why does it all matter? I'm like so caring about the fuel that I stopped caring about the life that fuel is meant to catapult. And so I started thinking about that. Like, why sit in this perfect little juicing kitchen and look out at my little organic garden and worry about the food all day? And then what is it worth if I don't go and get hold of the joy of life and actually have fun in my life and enjoy life? Because the fuel is not the life. It's just the means of giving you energy to enjoy life. But the actual life itself is the glory, not the fuel. I don't know if that helps.
No, it helps. It's so good. I just burst for Anon because, like, my eating disorder was I withheld nutrition from myself because I was afraid in my life.
When was this, Dan?
Can I go pee while we unpack
when
that
you're,
part?
When you were walking me through.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember. You were like, have you had breakfast? And you're like, no.
No, I haven't had breakfast. Too busy trying to grind,
I remember
make
that.
Money and pay bills. Just fear that I'm not man enough, fear that I'm not a good dad, fear that I'm not going to pull this off, fear that I'm not going to walk in the highest purpose for my life, just fear. And so there's no time to eat.
Yeah.
It's literally starving myself, withholding love from myself.
Yeah.
You're withholding, you're not allowing yourself to be in your prime and at your most beautiful. And that's what I keep, like, I'm not done here with Anon because... because I feel like I see that. And I can't say exactly what she's going through, but I understand what it's like for food to be the thing that is in front of us, that is doing the manifesting, but inside there's some work to be done.
Yeah.
And she, you know, one thing she wrote was about she's 28 and still unmarried. Let me tell you, sister, there are still real men left in the world, and real men are not concerned about your age or your weight or your appearance.
They don't want you stick like.
Huh?
They don't want you.
And she's just about cancer that we had on the party too.
For starters.
You know, who didn't give up that dream? I mean, I believe Anon's going to find her guy way sooner, but our wonderful Candace didn't find to 41, and she's just really rocking her.
And you're saying, Danny, is your man out there, he's not going to be concerned if you're 10 pounds up from here or 10 pounds this way or that way.
No, he'll probably say, please, tick that 10-pound box.
And he's going to take you to Applebee's on date night, and you're going to make sane choices. And, like, you're going to enjoy food together, and it's going to be balanced and sane. Yeah, I mean, like, let go of all this obsession, you know, and just
so
love
good.
Yourself. And,
so good.
And do the thing. Look in the mirror and speak to thyself.
Yes.
And say, this is the hard exercise. I've had to do this. You know what this reminds me? I need to do this. I'm going to do this on the bathroom break. Look in the mirror.
I hope I can hear you, Dan. Do it nice and loud.
Nice and loud. Look in the mirror, right in your eyes. Choose one eye.
Yeah.
And say, I love you. You are perfect. You are gorgeous. You are beautiful. If you have a little favorite part of your body that you love to hate, get it out.
Yeah.
Get it on out and just speak to it. If it's that belly or whatever that is, you know, just look at that belly. I have never seen one so perfect.
It's so true, because I used to hate my thighs, and there's nothing wrong with my thighs, but all women do it. They isolate a part of their body and they think that's so repulsive.
That's the one. My nose.
How could anyone love it? How? And I would think that about my thighs and my legs. Yep. My husband loved them. He thought they were great, but I was horrified.
If he's a real man, he does, of course.
And then one day I remember we did this party. It was called Love Thy Avocados and Thy Thighs or something. And I said to myself, Pearl, stop it. So now, you know, every time before I get in the shower, I just give my thighs a little pat.
Yeah.
I mean, they're great. They're so imperfect, imperfectly great.
Give them a slap, Anon. You know, that's what I'm going to do to my nose. I'm just going to, like, pet my nose.
Yes.
Like, you are not obnoxiously huge. You don't take up most of your face. You're fine.
But it's great. It makes you you, Danny. I bet Mrs. V loves your nose.
She loves it. And listen, really do the exercise. Like, people are, oh yeah, that's nice. That's a nice concept, huh? And then they don't do it. No, look in the mirror and do it. It's really freaky. And people cry.
I'm telling you, another way to look at it, you know, I don't know if you're, you know, a Bible reader like Serene and I or not, but this is new to me too. And I've always thought, oh yay, God loves us. We've got to love ourselves and all of that. But, you know, I've been studying a lot about neuroplasticity lately, and neuroplasticity does not work in an environment where, you know, you're kind of forcing yourself to do things. It only works when there's love
belief in the heart
from matters of the heart. And you know, so then it comes down to love is the ultimate neuroplasticity facilitator when there's love involved. Like, even with the way we eat, okay, when we tell ourselves to do things, okay, I've got to eat my breakfast, it's got to have protein, and oh my goodness, for lunch I've got to do that and put that e-sandwich together, and oh my goodness, and at first it gets you on the right path, but after, if you don't harbor and cultivate love for what you're doing and just think thoughts of love, it's going to stop.
Love others and make sure you love yourself.
Yes, but then I thought to myself, well, if neuroplasticity actually hardens your brain pathways, when strong emotions are involved, and what's the strongest emotion of all in the world? Love, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God is love. God is love. And then God lives in me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, his great power in me. So God is love. And then I thought to myself, I have to love myself. And then I thought, no, you don't, Pearl. You are love.
Let's go.
I'm love. I got this, like, big thing in my head about a month ago. I walk around now being love, and it's changed my life. I am love to my husband.
Yeah.
I am love to myself. I am love to people on the streets. I don't even have to say, you know, try and show love. No, I am love.
Yeah, that's
oh my
so
goodness.
Good.
And then I've just been acting it out and feeling it. And it's just changing me.
I love that. It's just so huge. I love it.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. We're done. Dream of him, mama.